This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we bring on Frank Schwab. We love having Frank on the show, Inside Coverage podcast, host for Yahoo Sports NFL. And Frank, part of the discussion is what's going to happen at the top of this draft. So we saw this week that the Giants, you know, they get Russ, they get Jameis, and everybody now is saying, okay, well, they're not going to draft a quarterback at three. There's no way it precludes them from drafting a quarterback. And, in fact, I think they should. But is that quarterback Shedeur Sanders at three?
Yeah, that's the big question. I think there's many reasons to believe that not every team loves Shedeur Sanders. I like Shedeur Sanders. You know, I'm based out here in Colorado, so I've seen a lot of him. But teams do not have high grades on Shedeur Sanders. And are the Giants one of those teams that have him as a third, fourth round type of grade? Well, if that's the case, I don't know that you draft him third overall. But signing Jameis, signing Russ, allows you flexibility where you don't feel forced into it. Let's say you do like Shedeur Sanders. Absolutely, you draft him. I mean, you're gonna stop your long term goals to placate Russell Wilson, who's 37 years old and looks pretty much at the end. I totally agree with you that means nothing as far as their draft plans go. It's just adding another veteran to the move to the room. Albeit kind of expensive, I get that, but it just allows you some flexibility where you're not forced into a box where you have to draft a quarterback.
Did Deion Sanders make his statement because there is some bias against Shedeur that they might pull like a Manning family move when they try to move him from the Chargers to the Giants?
I don't know. I don't think Shedeur has that kind of leverage, to be honest.
Right.
Like, I guess at some point, everybody has that kind of leverage. You're not going to use a first-round pick on Shedeur Sanders and have him walk and demand a trade or whatever. But, you know, when Eli Manning did that, or John Elway did that way, way back in the day,
right?
Those guys were first overall picks. And they were high-end prospects and all that kind of stuff. I don't think Shedeur is in that same pocket. But, you know, I love Deion. Like, Deion's fun. Deion's interesting. Deion's so charismatic. But I don't know that necessarily he has kind of the weight to pull this off the way he would like, maybe if he's serious, the way he would like to, because, like, again, so many teams are split on Shedeur Sanders as a player that this is, I just can't compare this to Eli Manning because Eli had kind of had all the cards as the number one guy in the draft.
And his dad. I mean, his dad had a lot of say at that point. I mean, they
Absolutely,
are the power family in the NFL.
But do you think, Carl, do you think, either way, Schwab, do you think that, like, there's a bias against Deion for his persona? Or is it more about the guy holds on to the football too long?
I'd say I think there's a boy. There's a lot of layers to unpack there. I was really kind of annoyed by the narratives coming out of the combine, and we go through this every year, right? And it's we allow these anonymous scouts and executives to just tee off on these 21-year-old guys who are just trying to make their way in professional football, just trying to get their career started. And you heard so much nonsense about Shedeur Sanders, like, oh, he's too confident. He's got too much swagger. Like, what are we doing here? And, look, I hate to bring this up, but I have to. Would we be talking about this if it was Shedeur Smith and he was white? Like, let's be honest. Like, it seems like a lot of these buzzwords were used because Shedeur Sanders is a confident black man. And it bothered me. It bothered me a lot because I think Shedeur Sanders, yes, he does have some flaws as a football player. He does hold the ball too long. He doesn't have the extreme arm talent of some of the Caleb Williams and those type of guys or the extreme athleticism of Drake May or whatever. But he's a really good quarterback who's really accurate. And all of a sudden we're going to let these guys just tee off on Shedeur Sanders is too confident. Like, what? Like, what are we doing here? I don't like it. But I think at the end of the day, all that stuff is nonsense. And if the Browns or Giants or Raiders or whoever's picking high up in the draft looks at that guy and says, look what he did in a Big 12, lifting Colorado's program along with Travis Hunter and also his dad, I think he's a franchise quarterback. I think you draft him without any question.
I agree. 74%, I believe, completion percentage, 71, something of that nature, led FBS.
Tough guy, and a tough guy, too.
Correct.
That's one thing, real quick. When you hold on to the ball too long, it's because you're tough. It's because, you know, we've seen guys, Philip Rivers or whoever, Ben Roethlisberger, when you hold on to the ball too long, it means you're getting your behind kicked sometimes. And I like that about Shedeur Sanders. He's willing to stand in there, take the hit to deliver an accurate pass more likely than not.
Let me ask you about Abdul Carter because we need an edge rusher. We're talking with Frank Schraub, guys, covers NFL, the NFL for Yahoo Sports. He's not going to work out at his pro day. That came out. I think their pro day at Penn State is Friday. He didn't work out at the combine. Mm. Look, the tape doesn't lie. Kid showed up. I think he missed one game in his career at Penn State. But is he by far the next best player if you're going to not take Cam Ward? You know, because the Browns have that second pick. And we're talking about Abdul Carter. We need a guy. Now, I don't think the Falcons would make a move to go up to two or three to do this. But do you still have him at the top of this draft, regardless of the fact that he hasn't worked out and Drew Rosenhaus's agent said, well, he may do something in mid-April?
Yeah, I think it's funny because, I mean, we've seen guys do stuff similar to this. I mean, guys who sit out bowl games. Christian McCaffrey, I remember, being kind of one of the first guys to just say, I'm not doing private workouts, guys. Like, if you don't want to draft me, fine. The tape is the tape. Yep. Like, go look at it. And if you're dumb enough to pass on Abdul Carter because he didn't, like, run a 40 for you, okay, you deserve what you get. Because to me, Abdul Carter is the best player in this draft. Like, and I don't honestly think it's all that close. Like, don't get me wrong. I really like Travis Hunter. I really like Genty. I even like Cam Ward. But Abdul Carter is the best player in this draft. And that's what makes it difficult because if you're a team like the Browns, you need a quarterback somehow, some way. You ain't got one. So what do you do? Do you draft Shedeur if you like him? Or do you just say, you know what, Abdul Carter and Myles Garrett, that's a pretty good start for us, and we'll figure out the rest as we go. Because I do think Abdul Carter is the best player in the draft, and I think we get so caught up with the workout stuff. Yeah, you want it to reinforce what you've seen on tape, but if you're drafting dudes based on their combine workout or their pro day workout, you're doing it wrong anyway. So, yeah, to me, in my opinion, hasn't changed at all about Abdul Carter.
Carl, let's reset, talking like a Cleveland radio host who thought Dallas was trading Dak. Joined now by Frank Schraub, Inside Coverage podcast host for Yahoo Sports NFL, here on Dukes of Bell Live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Hey, man, what about somebody coming up for Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe, or is it still just going to be two quarterbacks in this first round?
Yeah, and I mean, that's the interesting thing. I'm torn on it because, A, there's such desperation at quarterback. I mean, what are the Pittsburgh Steelers going to do, for one example, right? Like, what are the Cleveland Browns going to do? What are the Raiders going to do beyond this year or, you know, next year or two with Geno? So desperation always forces guys to get moved up the board, but if we're sitting here looking at these top two guys and saying, Cam Ward's not a slam dunk number one overall prospect. He's going to go number one, I think, but he's not one of these Caleb Williams-type prospects, right? And then we're looking at Shedeur and saying some teams have a third, fourth-round grade on him. Does that, like, are you that excited then about Jackson Dart? You know, are you that excited about Milroe or the kid from Louisville or wherever you want to go? And I think the answer is got to be no, but do one of these teams just do it because, hey, we need a quarterback, we need to throw some darts, no pun intended there. So really interested to see what happens. Because I don't really love any of these quarterbacks beyond Shadur. And I don't even love Shadur. I think Shadur could be a good player. I don't love him by any means. And once you get past Shadur, it's like, okay, now this is too rich for my blood if you're talking about first round. I wouldn't do it, but again, these teams are so desperate at quarterback. And, like, again, let's say Aaron Rodgers says no to the Steelers. What are they going to do? What other choice do they have but hope that Jalen Milroe is the answer?
Let me ask you, Frank, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, what's taking so long? Is it because he has options with Minnesota, or is it because he's just making us wait to talk about Aaron Rodgers because he likes to be talked about? There's no reason that he has to wait. He could have made this decision 2 weeks ago, but yet here we are, and we may be here after the draft.
Yeah, nothing's going to change with the Pittsburgh Steelers and Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, I mean, your decision is either yes or no at this point. So I think it's a lot of Aaron Rodgers just being Aaron Rodgers. We're talking about him, right? Like, he enjoys it. Like, there's no questioning that. Like, this is kind of who Aaron is. I do think there's something else on the table, though. And I think it's that Aaron Rodgers is looking around, and if he doesn't love the Steelers, and look, if he loved the Steelers, he was fine there already. So I think it's fair to say he does not love the Steelers. He might be just sitting there saying, what if a team loses its quarterback in September or October? All of a sudden, I'm the belle of the ball. I'm the guy everybody's calling. Let's say, and I'm not wishing this upon anybody, right? Let's say the San Francisco 49ers are 5-1 in October and Brock Purdy suffers a season-ending injury. You know who the first call is going to be to? It's going to be Aaron Rodgers. Let's say J.J. McCarthy gets hurt in September. The Minnesota Vikings are going to pick up the phone to Aaron Rodgers. So he might be looking at it from that aspect of, I don't need to sign right now. I'm going to land somewhere during the season. It's not going to be ideal. But I don't love the Steelers situation. There's nothing else out there for me. I'm just going to wait this thing out and see what happens in September or October. I just have this feeling like we're far from a conclusion here. Because, again, if Aaron Rodgers wanted to sign with the Steelers, it would have happened already.
Yeah.
Right.
Ego. And Frank, it's just, you know, as we said, there's a pecking order. Now that Russell's in there with the Giants, whatever they're going to do, you know, when and is there any scenario in your mind that would get Kirk Cousins off our roster by this draft? Seems like we're screwed. And as my partner Carl's been saying, it's always going to be a post-June kind of waiting for one of those things to happen. So we've been discussing how awkward it will be to have, you know, Kirk Cousins on our team when the preseason and then the season begins. Do you see any scenarios where that's actually going to happen?
Right, and it might have been even with you guys. I seem to remember us talking about this like a month ago and me laughing and being like, oh, ha-ha, yeah, of course Kirk Cousins is going to be on the roster because somebody's going to pay him $10 million bonus. And then he did it. And so it threw me for a loop, I'll tell you that. I didn't see that coming. But I think, look, I'll give the Falcons credit for this. They've looked at the entire quarterback situation the past couple of years very unconventionally. They said, yep. You know what? Everybody does it this way. We're going to do it another way. And, yes, you're right. Like, I think the mindset is it's awkward to have these two guys in the same quarterback room. I think the Falcons are saying, we don't care. Whatever. Michael Penix has an injury history. We've seen Michael Penix start, what, 3 games? Like, he was good, and I like Michael Penix. You don't know that he's, you know, that surefire, he's going to be the man for the next 10 years. I know Atlanta hopes so, and there were some signs that he will be, but you don't know that. So I think the Falcons are looking at this saying, all right, we're paying this much money for our two quarterbacks. Well, if our starter was making this much and our backup was making this much, nobody would even talk about it. So who cares? We're not going into the season without a proven backup. Now, if the Steelers want to pick up the phone and offer a draft pick where the Falcons are like, okay, now it's worth it, sure, go ahead. But I don't think the Falcons are giving them away. I've been completely did a 180. I came into this thing saying, I think the Falcons, there's no chance at all the Falcons are serious about this. Now I think they're very serious about it and saying, we're not giving away Kirk Cousins because backup quarterback is a valuable position, and we already have sunk $90 million into him, so what's the difference in sinking $100 million into
it? Right.
And that's kind of what we've thought all along. It's good to have you, Frank. Appreciate you stopping by. check out Frank Schwab, guys. Again, he writes for Yahoo and covers the NFL, does a great podcast as well. We'll talk soon, man. A lot of stuff is going to change between now and the draft, and hopefully it involves the Falcons.
Always does. Always, yes, does. Please. Always appreciate being on with you guys.
Absolutely.